Now, there's a reason for all the debt talk and things this morning. I've been talking about the church. I'll be preaching about the church, what kind of church, what's the New Testament church model in the Bible as you read it. You can't argue with the fact that we need to be Bible-believing people. And it's our responsibility to rightly divide the Word of God, or every pastor's responsibility, I believe, to rightly divide the Word of God as we deal with what the Bible says and what the Bible speaks of concerning the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. And what we believe about the church needs to come from the Bible. And the Bible's our sole authority for faith and practice in the New Testament church today. It's always been. You read a lot and you study history, and we talk about the Reformation and all that. Understand this, that we are not what we are because of a Reformation. We've never left our position as Bible-believing Christians. We had the Bible. And so things were reformed, but not the New Testament church. God laid the foundation for that. And so this is what we believe. Our philosophy must come out of our theology. What we believe about life, what we believe as Christians, comes about what we know about God. That's what we do, what we do. In other words, it's a disastrous thing to develop a philosophy without that philosophy being built on the right theological foundation, which is the Bible. The Lord Jesus said, as I started this series on that I will build my church. The church translated is very significant because it's never used to describe a denomination. It's never used to describe a group of churches. It's never used to describe a national church. The Bible teaches that every church is directly accountable to God, not to a denomination or not to a group of churches. So just some things to understand there. If you would, take the Word of God and turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, and then again we'll be in Acts chapter 2, but I want you to look at Matthew 16 this morning as we continue about the church, and I'm going to explain what the Baptist church is about today, and then how we apply these things to our lives. Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13, talks about the church and its foundation here when Jesus speaking. Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answers and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven." Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. And if you would, let's look again in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, where we have this same Peter preaching for the first time after Pentecost, after the coming of the Holy Spirit, which they prayed and waited 50 days for. That's what Penta means, 50. And he addressed at Pentecost, he stood up and he addressed the crowd of people and had a great revival. In verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, the Word of God says, "And they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for time to be here. Lord, I pray you help me to be a blessing with the remainder of the time we have in this service. Lord, help us to understand why we do what we do and who we are, and to be able to give an answer to all those that may ask, what must I do to be saved? Lord, help us to be a testimony. And Lord, I pray you just help me to be a blessing this morning again. Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone may ask the question today, well, what is the church? What's the church? The very definition of the church is simple, that it's a group of baptized believers, who voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. That's the church. A group of baptized believers in Jesus Christ who voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. That's as simple as one can make it. Now, I read this statement in Matthew chapter 16. The Lord Jesus asked his disciples when he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they started asking, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. No doubt when they heard Jesus preaching that they thought this was John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a hellfire and brimstone strong preacher. And this has been none other than John the Baptist. Some of them said Elijah. They thought Elijah had come back when they saw the miracles that he'd done. He thought of the prophet Elijah and the miracles that he'd done. Some said Jeremiah. Maybe when they saw the tears of Jesus when he was weeping at the tomb of Lazarus and all, they thought of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, you'll know. And then the Lord Jesus asked his disciples in verse 15, he put it down, he goes, but who do you say that I am? We see a personal question answered here. When you're talking to people, I believe as we talk to people, it's an individual thing that we do. It's a personal relationship that you have with Christ. And by the way, everybody needs that personal relationship to come to the Lord on their own. And they need that. And so that's when people make the comment sometimes, well, you're trying to change my religion or you're trying to do that because they believe. You can't do that. I'm not trying to change everything. You must have a personal relationship with the Lord like everyone else. You can't change nobody. But Simon, the Lord asked him, he said, who do you think that I am? That's a good question. You may want to ask that with people soul winning. Who do you think that Jesus is? Was he just a good teacher, a good person? What was he, a prophet? Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah. Thou art the Christ, Peter said, the Son of the living God. That's a big deal. that's a big deal there. When he said that's it. That separates all religions on the planet up to that time. And Jesus took that statement and said in verse 18, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. His church is a called out assembly. It's his church, his rock, not Peter. He didn't build the church on Peter. Peter's not the head of the church. A lot of people take the scripture and think that. It's not that way. It's his church. I will build my church. You can place the emphasis anywhere you want, but I place it on Jesus saying, I will. Amen. Lord said, I'll get it done. Not you. In other words, other religions think that the Lord just handed the task down to a man. He didn't do that. He gave man the work to do to complete his task of building his church. Still his. I'll get it done. The church has many enemies and critics, but Christ is everlasting at it. He's always building his church. And it's important to note that he said, I will build my church. It's his. He didn't say, I'll build yours. He didn't say, you'll build mine. He said, I will build my church. And again, as I stated last week or even the week before in the other messages, our job is basically to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. As the church is obedient to the Lord adds to the church. Obedient in being faithful, obedient in sharing the gospel. That's our job, to be obedient. I think we get caught up sometimes in what can we do to build the church. Well, we need to, first of all, be obedient to the Lord. What's the Lord want me to do? Share the gospel. Be faithful. You can't ask others to come to church if you're not coming yourself. Amen. You're not obedient. You're bad testimony for the Lord. And there's a lot of folks that seek to market the church and practice a kind of a target evangelism, if you would, and want to tell us that it's our business to be church builders, if you would. No, God gives the increase and He builds the church. We have one responsibility, and that's to be obedient to the Lord. And that separates a lot of things that are out there today. Because I get books all the time, how to build a church. I get things you wouldn't believe. How to increase your offering. They market. You with me? I mean, people can market anything. If you're a good marketer, you can market the church. And that's what they try to do, market the church. But then when we do, we step outside of God's plan for the church. And you may be marketing something. You may be getting more. Or you may be doing this. But God's not adding that increase. Wouldn't you much rather have God add to this congregation than just to go out and drag somebody in? Free donuts and coffee. You see what I'm saying? That's marketing. That's trying. Now, we're to compel them to come. And we do that with our lives and our testimony. Boy, you know, if you really want to hear God, you know, our preacher preaches the Bible and we got a great fellowship. Won't you? We compel them to come into God's house. But always remember, the key to that is what? Faith cometh by hearing the... And that's, we compel them to hear the Word of God. Amen? And that's how I would put that. I would never, you know, I would say our fellowship evolves out of our loving the Lord. Our fellowship evolves out of our faithfulness and being obedient to the Lord. A fellowship's important, but it's not the important thing. The important thing is the Word of God. Our music is good and we sing good music, but I don't want to invite somebody in because we have good music. Because if something ever happened to the music, then we're going and looking for a music program. You with me? It's always on the Word of God. And all these other things develop outside of the hearing the Word of God that increases our faith. And that's our responsibility, to be obedient to the Lord. And as we obey the Lord builds His church. And all we need to know is what God wants me to do. Amen. And we can rest and be happy and have joy in that. And that's hard because it's difficult in today's time and to get things done and to pay for things. You need members and all that, and we need to get out. Long as we're going out, long as we're sharing our faith, long as we're faithful, long as we know what God wants us to do, I believe God adds, and He adds in all kinds of different ways. And a lot of you have been added to the church, and it's been upon a visit. It's been upon somebody caring enough to go out and do a follow-up and things like that. Why? Because we're obedient to what God wants us to do. And that's where we need to recognize and do that. But with that, we need to understand as members of the church, the key word is obedience to the Lord. Okay? We need to be obedient. We need to be faithful. Faithful to the services. Faithful to our giving. Faithful to the Lord. Be obedient in our lives to the Lord, right? And as we're obedient and follow His commandments, what did Jesus say? Go to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them whatsoever I've commanded you. And so we need to do that. We need to teach our people that the Lord's doing His work in the world through the local church. And the pastor of the New Testament church needs to help people see how they can serve the Lord in the local church. That's my job, believe it or not, is to teach you and to let you understand how you can better serve the Lord in whatever area that God's gifted you in. And to challenge you to do that. Church is very important. And that's where I'm going to get back to this. Did that thing. Because, you know, sooner or later, anybody with half a mind knows that it cannot last forever. And something is, you know, catastrophic may happen. I don't know if it does. If it don't, I don't care. I'm still going to be a Christian if it happened tomorrow or not. Amen? Doesn't change where I'm going. I'm going to heaven when I die, and I'm one of God's children based upon faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? You're His child. He belongs to you. You don't even belong to yourself. Everything I have is God's. It's not my house, my car. It's God's house, God's car, God's everything. It's all His. When He takes me home, I'm not taking any of it with me. Amen? Amen. No U-Haul trucks behind the hearse, is there? No. Somebody going to get it. And so that's just the way it is, and we need to remember that. And we sing all the time, what, Brother Larry? God will take care of you. 125 in our songbook. Beautiful song. You believe that? We take care of our children the best we can, right? And the Bible says how much better of a father is in heaven. Amen. That'll take care of you. And so I said all that to say this, the church, the true church, the true worshipers, I believe very soon are going to be looking for something different. And unfortunately, what's different today is true Bible preaching and Bible teaching. You know, they're going to eventually, all the fluff and all the things that go on are not going to satisfy the needs when everything is really, really bad. And, you know, we're studying Wednesday night in their affliction in Hosea. They will seek me early. Remember on our Wednesday night crowd, folks that are here? God may bring an affliction that draws people one more time. You know, because what's the end result? God wants all people everywhere to repent. God doesn't want any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? So God wants all His creation, all human beings, to trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why He sent Him. For God so loved the world. The world now is 7 billion people. He loves them all. Christ died for them all. And God will do what He has to do to draw them to Himself. And if you read your Bibles, as you're reading now through your daily Bible reading, you're reading the Old Testament, you'll understand what God chose His people, how He chastised His people, and how He dealt with His people to draw them back to Himself, although they didn't listen and didn't listen and didn't listen. And so when Christ came and Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, the salvation came to the Jew first. They rejected it. And then it went to all of us. And we have it today. But God wants everybody to be saved everywhere, and it's through His church. And He has an outline of His church in the Bible. And so if you ever move or go anywhere, you need to find a Bible-believing church. It's above anything. Amen? It's above anything. It's not about a personality. It's not about, do I like the guy? Has he got hair on his head or whatever it is? We're so sight-oriented today. I mean, we do it, even with our presidential candidates, you know. It's like they got to be Hollywood movie stars. And people look at that. You know, that's not what you need in the Word of God. God's people worship God in spirit. True worshipers, the Bible says. I'm going to preach a message on true worshipers. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. And that's what people need today, just to hear the truth. They may not like it, but they need to hear it. You know, when you go to the doctor, you may not like what he tells you. But you have a choice to make whether I'm going to obey and do what he says or not. And people were faced with that choice. They've been faced with that choice since Adam and Eve. Of all the trees you can eat from, but this one you can't. He placed it in there to see who would be God. That's why the tree was in the garden. God didn't make puppets. He made people that want to worship him out of their own desire. Amen? And that's what it's about. And we need to teach our people that that's what God's doing. And so I wanted you to understand that Jesus builds his church, and you know we need to be obedient to the Lord and follow him. Amen? New Testament started with Christ and his disciples and was empowered at Pentecost. When did the church begin? People need to know the simple things about the local church, and that's what I'm going to share with you this week and probably some of next week. The church started with Jesus Christ and his disciples. It was empowered by the Holy Spirit when it came at Pentecost. Now, this is vital. When I was in seminary many years ago, I had an assignment to do to write a paper, a long paper, about when the church started, because there's all kinds of confusion, different theories on how the church started. How did the church start? Well, a lot of folks talked about an invisible church. You may not have heard that. What's an invisible church? Well, I'll tell you, you may not have heard the invisible church, but you may have heard about this. Well, preacher, you know, I don't believe you got to be in church to be saved. You're right. I don't need you need to be in church. I worship God when I'm out on the boat on Sunday. I had a guy tell me that, no lie. I worship on my pontoon well, I'm fishing Sunday. Interesting. So then you believe in an invisible church then. There's no church. There's no congregation. There's no, I mean, who's your pastor? The bass? I mean, the fish? What? Who preaches to you out there? Nature preaches to me. And this is where people go with this, because in their mind, for some reason, they don't want to get together with the congregation, because if they don't want to hear the Word of God, they don't want to be challenged, they don't want to be told the Word of God, they don't want to give. I believe basically it all comes down to money, amen, sooner or later, right? They don't want to be part of something, responsible for something. So that's what you call the invisible church, that we can have church anywhere. Well, you can, but the churches in the Bible, as you read the Bible, were called out local assemblies. They were first called Christians at? What was Antioch? What did the church do at Antioch? It sent two guys out. Who were they? You didn't know you're having a Bible lesson today. Everybody's scared to death. I ain't going to say the wrong thing. I'll help you. Paul and Barnabas. Remember them guys? Paul, by the way, wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Most of our church doctrine was given to Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Guess where they were sent from? Antioch. What was in Antioch? A church. What did they do at Antioch? They were first called Christians. Well, if it was an invisible church, who sent them? Amen. The fish? The deer? The antelope? Who sent them out? So you see how that dog don't hunt, right? Also, I have another verse of Scripture to tell you why there's no invisible church, because I had to do a study on this, because guys in seminary believe that it's not important that you be in church. You don't have to be in church. Had a preacher tell someone I converted one time, you don't have to be in church. What do you do with these kind of ignorant things? What do you do with the verse of Scripture that says Christ died for the church? Amen. And he didn't say it was an invisible church. I've come to the conclusion in the study of God's Word that the church started with Jesus Christ Himself and then His disciples. He empowered it at Pentecost. He said, I have to go away. And when I go away, the Comforter will come. He had to go away and leave. You know, Jesus could have stayed around on earth and still been here today. But He left to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit moves. Amen? And that came at Pentecost, after, by the way, of 50 days. And they didn't just sit around at Pentecost. They were in an upper room, 125 of them, the apostles, and a lot of folks were up there. What were they doing up there? They were praying. Well, if there was an invisible church, they could all sat home and pray. They could have been out on the boat, right? Peter could have been out in the Sea of Galilee. See, when we come to this conclusion, we realize that the Lord gave the Great Commission to the church, not to just a group of believers. The ordinance of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are not ministerial ordinances. They're local church ordinances. They're carried out through a church body. The emphasis on the New Testament is the local church. It's very important. Now, to get back to the invisible church thing, you find in Matthew chapter 18, when the Lord speaks again of the church, He speaks in verses 15 through 17. In Matthew chapter 18, it's about church discipline. He says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, okay, Jeremy, if you trespass or go against me, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Amen. Wouldn't you wish that people done that? You know, if you got a problem with me, come to me first. That's what he's saying. And Jesus said, thy brother, who's your brother? Someone that's saved and born again, right? We're brothers in Christ. Through the blood of Christ makes us brothers, because we're of the family of God. As many as received Him, to them gave you the power to become the children of God. So as children, we're all brothers and sisters. So if one of you have fault, Jesus said, go to him alone. If he hear thee, thou gain thy brother. In other words, you're back in fellowship. You're getting along. But if he will not hear thee, then take one or two more people. And take somebody else. You notice he didn't say take the whole church. Tell everybody, get on the phone and gossip. Amen. Get somebody else and bring them. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. In other words, now you don't have a he said, she said, right? Right? And if he shall neglect to hear them, then tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, then let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. In other words, he's not listening to anyone. Let him go on his own way. They're not right. That's how you deal with problems. There's the biblical basis of a problem. Amen? If you have a problem, Jeremy has a problem, boy, he just mad. I said something, he should just come to me. If he goes to someone else, he already stepped out of God's order. And with problem in churches today, people have problems. What do? They go on the phone, call somebody else. Did you hear what pastor said? Did you see that? Why not go to the pastor? Why not ask him? What do you mean, Brother Dave? You know, I'm not going to bite your head off. All right? I mean, everybody in here come talk to me sometime or another. Am I a tyrant? Right? I'm telling you, I'm teaching you something in the church, right? But no, what people want to do today is, you know, Jeremy gets mad at me, he calls Larry. Larry says, yeah, you know, because he's friends with Jeremy. Yeah, I didn't like that neither, you know. Let's see what Lionel thinks about that. Lionel says, you know, let me check with Roy on that. Roy says, yeah, I'm gonna check with Herbie on that. You know, Herbie says, well, let me go across see my neighbor Floyd. You know, now a month later, I got everybody at the church mad at me, and I have no idea why. Next thing, I get a pink slip, you're gone. And never know why. That's, you see what I'm saying? It happens, doesn't it? Sadly, and it's funny, we got a wonderful congregation here, but that's how things happen. That's exactly how problems happen. And Jesus said, this is what you do. Now, back to my invisible, if you had an invisible church, you couldn't have that kind of rules, could you? They have a hard time hearing the matter. Lord said, my church. It's an organized group that the Lord said could speak when necessary. Exercise church discipline when necessary. Carry out the Great Commission as commanded. It's a body of believers. You belong in the church. So when you're out soul winning, and yeah, I'm a believer, but I don't go to church, you need to emphasize, if you're truly a believer, you truly need to be in a church. Amen. You need to be supporting that church. Amen? So I want you, first of all, to know that the New Testament church started with Christ and His disciples and was empowered at Pentecost. And I give you an explanation of the invisible church only because you will run across somebody that says, I don't believe you have to be in church. I had a lady tell me right outside the door not long ago that, well, you know, so-and-so say, but they never went to church. I don't know. Amen? I don't know if they're saved or not. I don't know if people are sitting in church are saved a lot, let alone people who don't come that say they're saved. Amen? I mean, you know, James got on them about, you know, their faith. You know, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. You know, faith without works is dead, right? You know, show me you believe what you believe. Prove it. That's why our testimonies are so important, right? All right. Let me move on, try to get one more point in, and we'll go. The New Testament church is made up of saved people. You have to be careful about that. When people come, they needed to make a profession of faith. The New Testament church is of saved membership. We read in Acts chapter 2, 41 through 42, as many as received the word of God preached by Peter. They received that and got saved. They obeyed the Lord immediately upon being saved in what? Baptism. Now, here's a big question, because we have a crowd of people today, Campbellites, Church of Christ, all them, that believe you must be baptized to be saved. Well, then the Bible has it wrong here. They should have put, as many gladly received His word, it should have been they were baptized and then gladly received His word. They received the word and got saved, and because of their salvation experience, followed Christ in believers' baptism. As an indication that they're believing in Christ. Amen. As a symbol. Baptism is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? You find this example in here and how to do that. As we get saved, as we get baptized, we tell the world that I'm believing in Jesus Christ. I believe in His death as I go under the water, His burial. I believe in His resurrection as I come up out of the water. Forms like a cross. Amen? And I walk in newness of life because I'm a changed creature. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with Him in death, raised with Him in newness of life. That's what it represents. So, if that's a representation of the gospel, which it is, could sprinkling help you out? I'm not here to make anybody mad. I'm just telling you the Bible, amen? And you can answer these things out of the Word of God. And so that's how we do that. That's why we do that. And there's a body of doctrine connected with that. The Apostles' Doctrine. We talked about that last week. For baptism to be biblically correct, there must be the right authority, which is the local church. The Lord gave that authority to the church. Again, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That's the church does that job. We tell them, we lead them to Christ. We let them hear the Word of God. They trust Christ as Savior. We baptize them as a symbol of what happened in their life. And then we teach them to observe the things that God wants us to learn. Simple. All things what I have commanded you. And He spoke to the local church to do this. Hard for an invisible church to do all that. I'm just telling you, that dog don't hunt, and you'll hear it. Amen? Amen. That dog don't hunt, man. He's laying on the porch. Amen. I had a guy, I hear it all. I should write a book on the stories I heard on doorsteps. The one I worship out in Rough River Lake was a good one. That's where I got to thinking, you know, I wasn't quick enough that day. That's where I said, oh yeah, I go out there too. I have a boat I called visitation. So when my people call my wife, they say, Brother Dave's out on visitation. Worshiping. That's where all that came from. But anyhow, He gave the commandment to believers to baptize to the local church. He was speaking of that. And we have the right mode, immersion, and I went through that. New Testament church, thirdly, and in closing this morning, has only one head. This is important. One head. The Bible says in Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things He might have preeminence. Now, who do you think He's speaking of there? Christ. He's speaking of Jesus as the head of the body of Christ, the church. In case you didn't know what the body was, the Bible tells you what the body is the church, who is the beginning. Christ was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He raised Himself up from the dead. That's part of the gospel that creates the church. And in all things that He has preeminence, He's in charge of everything as given to the dominion of Jesus Christ. I had a guy in a church many, many years ago stand up and says, "We're a democracy. We need to go against the preacher on this. We're a democracy. The church needs to be a democracy." I said, wait a minute. No, we're not. If Jesus is the head, He's the king, what is that? That's a theocracy, isn't it? Come on. We live in a democratic society. Amen, amen, amen. But we're not a democratic society in heaven. Amen. We serve the king. You with me? It's His rules. He paid for us. When Christ comes again, we're not going to have elections. Amen. He is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. Amen. He is going to institute justice. He is going to make things right. Amen. Amen. Because it's all Him. That's what that verse of Scripture means. He has preeminence on everything. And so, that dog don't hunt. I'm just teaching you some things about the church. Independent Baptist Church recognizes it has one headquarters. Where's our headquarters? Heaven. Gold star. The church has one head. Who's the head? You mean it's not the deacon board? Only in the mind of a deacon. Take his star off the wall. Bad. That's it. There is no second. I know. There is no second. The pastor's not second. There's no second, third, fourth. There is no thing. We together are one in. But we serve different functions. It's like the marriage. Got a man and a woman. Or man, that is marriage, right, still? We may be voting on it in November, but a marriage is between, and we have to talk about this. Senator, what you believe marriage is? What are you, an idiot? Marriage is between one man and one woman for one lifetime, for better or worse. What's the question? We have marriage, a husband and wife. We have two different roles. Together they are one. But the man is different than the woman. God says the men are the spiritual leaders. The woman is a helpmeet to man. Together they raise families and together they work as one. But somebody leads and someone doesn't. There's an order of things. And there's an order of things in a church. God called pastors. He said in Jeremiah 15, I will send you pastors after my own heart. That'll preach to you. That'll fit into the way you are. See, the way I am, that's God just sent me here because it's the way you guys are. So if you think I'm crazy, check yourself out. I don't know. That's good, right? Hey, God sent me here. I don't know why, you know. And so we have pastors, and pastors have deacons. Why we have deacons? We'll get into that. Because the church got so big, they had some problems in the preacher's jobs, where it's to preach and teach the gospel and to pray. So, hey, I need some help. We need some servants. Amen. And so they picked spiritual men as servants. But they're no better or no worse. You see how different church is from the Bible today? Now, you see what the differences that, by the way, man created, why there's so much problems in the church? The devil's real good. The devil's got churches away from the biblical pattern of a New Testament church, knowing, as human beings, it's going to create problems. Because, after all, everybody wants to be in charge. Everybody in here has got a better way of doing things. Come on. Amen. I mean, everybody knows more. Don't matter how long you've been doing it no more today. Brother Lionel was sharing with me. He says, boy, I've been in this industry for 30 years, and I'm working for somebody who's been in one. They already know more than I do. I said, it's in the water, brother. We're at the wrong generation. Everybody thinks they're better. And so the devil knew human nature, he would do that. So what do you have in the local church? You have the sheep leading the shepherd all around. And then when they don't like the shepherd, he gets the boot. And you got the sheep running the things. They're running all over the place. It's why you need a shepherd. I'm just telling you, Christ is the head of the church. So with that means we have no denominational headquarters, right? I don't have to pick up the phone and say, hey, what's up with this? I don't have to report what we do to anyone. And by the way, that includes the government. Amen. We're sanctioned by the Constitution. We shouldn't have to do these laws to be a religious nonprofit organization. Churches were always under the assumption and under the protection of the Constitution of the United States to be locally autonomous. And we believe that. I defend that with everything. I don't believe in a Muslim religion, but they have the right to have a church just like we do. That's religious liberty. That's another sermon in itself. Everybody has the religious liberty. We believe what we believe. We rest our facts on the Bible, the Word of God. We're to go out and share. If they don't accept it and do something else, that's between them and God. We were obedient to what we know God wants us to do. And that's fine. But you don't have that today. You have a bunch of different things today. Amen? We have the body of doctrine that the Lord Jesus gave to His disciples when He established the church. The body of doctrine we believe that Baptists hold dearly today. We weren't always called Baptists, but we were always there. The church in Antioch was called Christians because they were mimicking Jesus Christ, the followings of Christ. It wasn't a great name that they come up with. It was a derogatory slang type of thing. Oh, they're all a bunch of Christians. Well, they know what they did. They crucified Christ. That's what happened to their leader. Of course, they didn't know that He rose from the dead, and that was the power of the gospel. So it's not so much a name that we're Baptists. We're Baptists by what we believe. We believe in the Word of God. Baptists have always held this doctrine dearly. We trace our roots to the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples. You'll hear people say, I'm Protestant. No, you're not. You're a born-again Christian. Protestants developed out of the Reformation. We didn't get reformed. We got saved.
Amen.
Amen? And we need to understand these things. We trace our roots to Jesus Christ and His disciples, knowing that throughout history, God always had a people who believed the same doctrine that Christ gave to His disciples. And they passed it on and passed it on and passed it on, and we got saved and born again through that. You with me? It's not a church that done that. It's not the Baptists that got together and wrote a book. God wrote the book. Right? 66 different books. Many authors over many thousands of years. So we have a book, a completed revelation of God, the Bible, winding through centuries, and people had the same body of doctrine, and they handed that doctrine on to the next generation and to the next generation. And they done that and done that and done that till we have this today. So there's a lot going on today that's really not true with the Word of God. I just want you to know what a New Testament Christian church is. We call ourselves Baptists because we hold true to that doctrine. There's no saving grace in it. There's nothing no better about it. Basically, we're a New Testament church. We need to believe the Bible and follow the Bible and what the Bible did in the New Testament church and understand these things. Amen? Now, you're saying that we're right and everybody's wrong? No, I'm not. I don't know what they believe, and I don't have to answer for nobody but you folks. But you need to recognize that some things just aren't right. And you need to understand that we're at a war, spiritual battle, and the devil wants us to take as many to hell as he possibly can. And what better way than a false religion? Because people are believing in that religion more than they are believing in the Savior, Jesus Christ. You with me? They're believing in a church. They're believing in an ordinance because they took communion, or they had communion, or they got baptized as an infant, or they got baptized somewhere. You hear people all the time, do you know you're saved? Yeah, I was baptized. Do you know that you're saved? Oh, yeah, I'm a member. Now ask me, do you know that you're saved? Yes. How come? Because I trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Other things had nothing to do with it. You with me? I mean, I just want you guys to understand as we learn this stuff. And you know, sometimes people just don't ever have to explain to them. And God burdened me just to do that this year. We're going to go through all this and understand this because if you need to know what you believe. Amen? You need to know why you believe. You need to know why you're here. You need to know what we really believe here. And then you can stand up to the phony baloney stuff out there in love and compassion because you know. Because the Bible tells us so. Father, I love You and thank You for the dear folks here this morning, Lord. I pray You help us and bless us in the days ahead as we start this year, Lord, of 2012. Lord, we never would have thought. And Lord, I pray You help our church to be a great lighthouse as we're trying to reach out through available means, through technology, Lord, with the internet and things that Jeremy's working on to reach many souls for Christ. We may not be big in number, Lord, but we can reach a lot of souls for Christ. And Lord, it's Your choosing to make us as big as or small as we need to be. And Father, we continue to pray that You just help us to continue to press on to see folks saved. Lord, I pray now as we close and have a time of reflection and invitation, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, and Lord, help us to be obedient. The first step of being a great church is have people that are obedient to the Savior. And Lord, I pray if there's any disobedience in any of our lives, Father, do we get things right now as we press on. It's bedrock that we trust in Jesus and Him alone. And Father, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me, please, as the invitation's given? If you need to come, for whatever reason, you come.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. And you pray for me as I continue this study on the church. And I've always spoke of the church in just kind of different pieces, but I want to finish it from beginning to end because it eventually boils down to an individual. Individuals make up the body of Christ, and we need to be just close to the Lord. And the times in which we live, and I do all this crazy, kooky kind of stuff with these numbers. Just, we live in really, really crazy times. You know, as some of the aged in here, you would never believe the things that they're talking about today. And we know from the Bible that this is the way things are going. And I believe, I don't know, you know, we may not skate out of it so easy as everybody like to believe. Oh, yeah, the Lord will come back and it'll all be fine. We may take some heat. And I believe the churches are going to take a lot of heat. It's going to separate the men from the boys, so to speak, ladies. It's going to separate the true believers from the phony baloney stuff. Amen? And I believe, you know, we may see that. So I pray not. I'm happy. I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Got a lot of folks we'll see there. And so I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we need to be obedient and faithful. All hearts and minds at ease this morning. I need to meet with my yoke fellows, please, just for 5 minutes. I promise 5 minutes. I got to go to the bank this week. I just